Blog Talk Radio.
An old Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the grandson, "There's a fight that's going on inside me. This is a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil, is anger, envy, sorrow, full of regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf," he continues, "the other wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, full of kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Now this same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it, looked up and asked his grandfather, "Well, grandfather, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the wolf you feed."
Yeah. Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth, 'cause no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me? I wanna be free, totally free. I'm not gonna let this world worry me."
Wake up, goddammit!
All right. Good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what where you are listening. Bienvenidos, ¿qué tal? Hola, namaste, okay, and welcome. Welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties on our live shows every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, again, live on Blog Talk Radio. Holding down the other half of our hosting duties, some call him the Lions Historian. Others call him Unc. I simply just call him my best friend when I can get the words out right. What's going on, Daddy? How you doing tonight?
And still others call him bleep, 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 bleep. You know, but don't need to say it. Hey, what's up, Alfredo? You know, it's a strange time, but so what? It's been that way. And it's only relative in regards to the strangeness at hand. And it's frustrating, but, you know, that's what I love about the show we do. I get a chance to verbalize degrees of my frustration, you know, and that's such a, you know, such a joy. That's funny. Verbalize my frustration, and it's such a joy to do so, you know, at the expense of your peace of mind. Anyway.
Are we talking about Wednesdays and Mondays or just period?
We're talking about Mondays and Wednesdays being the time that I get a chance to put you through hell as I moan and groan, as I murmur and complain, even though Scripture says not to do so. You know, it's like, yeah, but you don't understand. I got Blog Talk Radio's a greenhouse effect on my side. So it's increasingly frustrating. And that's just as far as the external circumstances of the world goes, you know. And then when my internal world is compromised as well, it gets a little hairy, you know, it gets a little overwhelming, you know.
Yeah.
So this show helps me, you know, find respite and a moment's pause of hearing myself say whatever it is that's on my mind as it relates to the rest of the world. And it usually proves to be insightful enough for me to gain additional insight on my murmurs and complaints as it relates to my internal world. But my point is, it's all at your expense 2 nights a week. Yeah, because you can't hang up on me on Mondays and Wednesdays. You know, you can't, Dad, I got to go.
The food's burning. I got to get in the house. Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah. So anyway, man, there you go. So, you know, it's all good. It nobody said it had to be all pleasant, but it's all good. You know,
Amen.
You know, I look at the devastation going on in Ukraine with the burned out buildings and cluttered with dead bodies, you know, and the fact that all this is brought to us in living color, you know, sitting here in our living rooms looking at the carnage of war, you know, and it's just been a continuum for a month now. Every night, you know, it's every day, it's all day, you know, brought to us live and in color, you know, and the question, the challenge, and the issue is, you know, how do we deal with this? You know, obviously, you know, it's back home here, it's the challenge of whatever everybody does with the challenge, you know, and I'm sure, you know, cross sections of race and color, you know, have our own singular ways of dealing with it. I don't think it's a collective way at all. I don't think it's anything that, you know, politics can dictate, you know, no matter what the news media might want to say. I think every person who tunes in at any given time to this war issue that's going on has some type of internal statement that they say, that we say, only to ourselves. Whether it's externalized or not, that really depends on the comfort a person feels with the crowd they hang with. But for the most part, it's internalized to the point where I've even talked to folks, which I've done, just turned it off, just taken a couple of days and just refuse to even tune into it, because I get too many conflictual issues come up for me. Like looking at these burned out buildings, I remember on the south side of Chicago when the public housing complexes, the high rises, you know, but we had another name for them, the projects, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As the projects were being torn down while people were still living there, as people were being displaced and replaced under Section 8, you know, but in the meantime, you know, those who hadn't been replaced yet or hadn't found homes to live in yet were still living in the buildings that around them were being torn down, that maybe a generation of family had lived there prior. And I remember Ida B. Wells, although that was a single level project. Nevertheless, I remember how they weren't all torn down at the same time and people were still living in there. And it became, you know, it became a haven of prostitution and drug dealing to the point to where Father Clemens and his assistant, Daryl Roussan, actually did a, you know, a whole video of it, you know, for like a documentary, you know, and it was on the news for a minute and yanked off just as quick. And right after that, you know, gunfire, you know, riddled his rectory. And, oh, I know that's not hearsay. I was, you know, I went to interview him about some other things that I was working on. And Daryl showed me, you know, the inner chamber and showed me the bullet holes that Father Clemens refused to have them filled in, you know, because he wanted people to see, you know. So it's like post-traumatic stress in so many ways for me to see something that's happening across the sea for a whole country of people, that even the comments I'm making right now, so many Americans would scoff at me and say, how can you, you know, trivialize the war as you talk about your so-called post-traumatic stress and seeing the South Side of Chicago and the social economically impoverished communities look like a war zone, while people had absolutely no place to go, while people were running around dodging bullets, and while people were wondering where their next meal were going to come. How dare you compare that to this Ukrainian conflict that's going on between that country and Russia? So thank you for this show, so I get to say it, and then I move on about my business. and you know, I get to decide if I'm going to pay any attention to hate mail or not.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, also what so often happens, especially for black men in America, you put everything at risk when you open your mouth. And all too often, whether people have an issue with your political or social statements or not, usually on a personal level, you know, they'll find a way to let you know they don't like you. That's cool. You know. Anyway, so how am I feeling? Too early to tell. How you doing, man? I know you got due diligence to handle, and I'm sure I've kind of taken you off stride, and I apologize.
No. Cut it out. Stop saying you apologize, because it's cool.
Well, I do. You know, I do apologize, man. And I know, and you have things to take care of. You got, you know, you got work to do, and here I am, you know, moaning and groaning.
Well, you know, it's okay. It's my hope that everybody's listening already know what's coming up next anyway. And if, you know, I'm kind of hoping people would hit us up then and comment, what the hell your dad talking about? Or what is the, or what are we supposed to do at the beginning? You know, or something like that. So I'm sorry.
Shoot.
since we're at that point, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple of things to add, and I always like to remind everyone. As you see, we have no problem getting started in our dialogue conversation on our shows. So as a reminder, we want to make sure that everybody's got a pen and paper and pen, post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope, a napkin, whatever you got. We want to make sure that you have the opportunity to write down any questions, take any notes, maybe something you want to share with the audience, or, you know, again, just make sure you got something to write with. We want to make sure that you don't forget anything. And again, you have an opportunity to share with us, and we'll get to that in a second. Man, I'm blibbling blabbling tonight. So the other thing is that we want to make sure that with your pen and paper that you already have, that you can dialogue with us and engage with us different ways. One way is by calling us directly. Our phone number here, you've got that pen and paper already. Our phone number is 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And if you want to jump in the queue, press the 1 button on your keypad. That'll let us know that you'd like to chime in with Dad and I. So thus is one way for you to engage with us, unlike your other podcast that you might hear. Again, this is one of our live shows, Mondays and Wednesdays. So we also have a chat room that you can use on the Blog Talk Radio site, blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhousefx. That's the letter F, the letter X. And with your free Blog Talk Radio profile, just jump in the chat room and you can talk with us or holler at Adam or whatever, talk with us directly. And we have the Facebook event page, which some of you may have received invitations. You can use that as well. So, whew, I need to take a break. I need some water.
Good job. And
thank you.
I want to highlight one comment you made, and hopefully people will hear this. There was nothing. There was nothing in the statement that said you have to wait for us to give you the okay to hit one on your keypad to come into the queue. Will said, if you have a comment to make, just hit one on your keypad. That'll put you in the queue, and we'll know you have a comment. You don't have to wait for permission to do that, y'all. If at any time, now that doesn't guarantee we're going to get to you, but at any time, you don't have to wait for a break in the action because that may never come. But if you're yourself in the queue by hitting one, we'll know you're there. And Will is very caller friendly. So he'll make it a point to at least acknowledge that you're there and apologize if, in fact, we don't get to you. But if you're waiting for us to say, caller, this is the time you hit your keypad. We're not going to do that. All right. I just wanted to say that. It's probably going to have to be repeated a couple more times over the course of our programming.
That's just one of the things we just have to get used to and just reminding the audience, you know, that I'm sure some people may have, you know, our phone lines are now open. You can call us at, you know, no, it's not. It's not like that. You don't have to wait for the doo, 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 doo. No, it's the phone lines are open. Just hit us up.
Doo, 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 doo.
You don't have to wait. 516-453-6094. You said we take a chance when we open our mouths sometimes or
everything is at risk. No, you don't take a chance. As soon as you open your mouth, everything is at risk. Everything. You know, not just what you're talking about. Everything is at risk. That's what I said. Yeah. And I'm highlighting everything.
Everything that comes out.
No, everything, period. Regardless of what comes out of your mouth, as soon as you open your mouth, everything is at risk. Everything about you, you know, it's at risk. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean it's going to turn out to be bad, but it might. Doesn't mean it's going to turn out to be good, but it might. What it means is there's the risk. You don't know how what comes out of your mouth is going to be perceived. Maybe people will pay attention to what you're saying and then pass judgment. But maybe just because you have nerve to even open your mouth, people may pass judgment. Maybe relationships that you think you have tight binds with may be at risk. You know, I mean, everything is at risk. And maybe it all turns out okay, but make no mistake about it. You know, brother, you open your mouth, everything's at risk. That's what I'm saying. You know,
And you remind me of that a lot on social media, even though, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But I guess sometimes not taking things so serious. So you would say it's the same thing. Okay, very good.
Yeah, same thing. You know, and that's what's another thing that's at risk. You can open your mouth by typing, you know, and sometimes it's self-imposed, you know, what's at risk. Oh, people don't like me. I don't like that people don't like me. I'm not paying attention to those that do like me. I'm paying attention and reacting to those that don't, you know. And then it becomes the, you know, the 100 evaluation syndrome. 99 were great, but that 100th, doggone it.
Why didn't that one? What happened?
Yeah,
what did
so
I
let
do
me go
wrong?
Gather the other 99 sheep and go chase the one down. Anyway, that's all, man. So go ahead. I'm not going to say I apologize, but I'm sorry.
Lo siento, huh? No, I've always said on other shows how doing something like this, it is therapeutic. It is a way of, expressing oneself. Saying what you got to say,
And being willing to risk it. Yeah.
Well,
we talk to a lot of people, right? But we talk to them a lot of times solo, one-on-one. And how many times have you heard somebody say, I don't want to call in to make a comment because I don't want to sound like, and then fill in the blank, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but your opinion goes unheard. And where does that leave you? So I think once this program of ours begins to open up and it expands the limitations of family and friends, I think it will be more encouraging in that regard, because right now it's so close to the vest. I think that it's like, well, it's just Will and Bill. I mean, I know them. What do they have to say special? We can have this conversation anytime. So why would I call into a show to have a comment I can have with them, over a hot dog? But I guess it's not really about, being patronizing of us. It's an opportunity for individuals to know they got this hour, couple of nights a week, to use to their own benefit, like advertising something that you're offering or sharing your opinion, even to family and friends, about something that's bigger than, what you bought online from Amazon yesterday. But because we really are dependent on family and friends right now, I understand, why we're not inundated with a lot of calls, because, these are folks that we interact with constantly. On some level of medium, whether it's phone calls, whether it's chatter back and forth on Facebook, or whether it's the safe kind of conversations, but this is not what the show was intended to be. It's not like, let's help them feel good about themselves. No, we're really trying to present an opportunity to open up the airways a little bit and talk about, especially, the current events from a social perspective. And, all too often, that's not the sole intent of our show, right? But all too often, it becomes a color thing, And then, of course, that makes it seem like we're anti-white. Well, I learned a long time ago in my life to be pro-black doesn't mean you're anti-white. What it means is that you're giving voice to something that otherwise is not heard, which is where history of America has denied everybody the opportunity to have comments on the full range of expression that could exist in this country if the opportunities presented itself. But unfortunately, if it's not the popular vote, if it's not coming from the talking heads, then all other opinions become, the parenthesis. It's not even recognized. And that's, that's what makes issues like what happened at the Oscars last week so overwhelming. People, are they still talking about that? Yeah, because you're still listening to it, And it's like that's the closest we get to expressing our feelings is our reaction to something that somebody else is talking about that isn't even about us. It's for me, crazy making. But at the same time, there is an understanding that comes, too, in realizing that this slap was metaphorically something that Americans need to come to grips with. We are really addicted to being entertained, and we really use these forms of entertainment all too often to give us some kind of escape attitude about, that's how I want to be seen, or that's how I would like to believe I would be, or that's a honey I'd like to get next to, I really think there really are superheroes out here, You know, I remember when, you know, like Rocky first came out. There was a whole lot of white boys who got their asses kicked because they really thought Rocky was real.
Right.
You know, and then, of course, the Black Rocky movie came out, Creed, you know. So, you know, like, hey, have I seen this movie before? Hey, we just, you know, flipped the race card and then we turned Rocky black. So, but it's, you know, so then all of a sudden we watch for entertainment the Oscars because that's their moment to shine. People say, yeah, they like to watch them walking down the red carpet with their, you know, their outfits, unless they're too revealing. And then people say things like, how could she come out and look like that? That's so disgraceful. While brothers are saying, hubba, hubba. You know what I'm saying? But silently, you know. And you know, just like that, pow. It's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, one person said, I wish I had a black man defend me like that. Okay, you know. Another person said, that wouldn't happen if either one of them had been white, or he never would have made the comment if it had been a bald-headed white woman. Yeah, it's like, wait, what's happening right now, y'all? This is the town of make-believe. And why are you turning it into a reality? Not even a reality show, but a reality. Why are you actually allowing, you know, fantasy land to become your truth? You know, they live in their bubble. They let us look into it once a year, you know, but that's that bubble they live in 365 days a year, you know, and the issues are as nonstop as the dialogue has been for the last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here I am still talking about it and still discovering things along the way, like Jada Pinkett Smith did an interview with TikTok 4 days before the Oscars. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing. I'd love to. I actually wrote it, half, most of it out, but I kind of clipped it, you know. But here we are almost halfway through the show. But at the end, and it was on TikTok, and it's called, just so you know what it's called, Story Time with Jada, Hair in Hollywood, you know. So that's the TikTok interview, Story Time with Jada, Hair in Hollywood. And at the end of it, the interview, she noted that the courage she gained years ago in saying no to what Hollywood was demanding of what Hollywood was constantly demanding that she had to do with her hair, when she finally gained the courage to say no, you know, is why she feels a sense of freedom now. And her last sentence was, I don't give two craps what people think about this bald head of mine. Because guess what? I love it. So maybe that was just, you know, a good interview with TikTok. Maybe it wasn't really what you believed. Maybe it just sounded good, you know, because people do that too, you know. And how often have you heard people say that they don't care what others think? Well, you know that's a lie, because they at least care what others who they love think, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know that's a nice, you know, that's a nice, this, you know, that's a good way to keep a person distance from public opinion or family opinion or whatever opinion, you know. But I'm sure she did love her bald head. But I'm sure, I'm not sure, but I guess along the way, she didn't expect anyone to be in any way insulting to her, but only she knew what her sensitivities lied in regards to, you know, as far as being insulted. I know that you've experienced where people have said something to you and they really didn't think it would bother you. And then all of a sudden they said it and it's like, release the Kraken. And I know, you know, that people have had that reaction with me. It's like, dang, dude. Why are you so angry? Oh my God.
You got a problem, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You need help, man.
I just said. But what you said, you know. It's like, oh, damn. But, you know, so anyway, man. Round and round she goes, right? And unfortunately, politicians don't have to be concerned with the repercussions of social interaction like us regular people do. You know, this defines our relationships with others back and forth forever. Politicians, the only thing they're concerned about is not having to go out and look for a real job. And they trust the short attention span of America, which, you know, America has a very short attention span, you know. So they get let off the hook all the time, where the hook is planted with us, one person to the other all the time. Our arguments don't go away, you know. We try to avoid future arguments, but the fact that we've had arguments, you know, don't leave. You know, with politicians, it's not even an argument. They just call it politics. So we move into areas like what Ketanji Brown Jackson is dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, and the comments made by Congress. So there I go, man. So let me, you know, back up and, you know.
Well, you just kind of segue right into, KBJ. You like that. Ketanji Brown Jackson. Yeah, and I'm glad that we spoke before the show kicked off, so I didn't really get too much into what we're not clear about yet, you know. But since you mentioned,
right,
KBJ, you know, and so, you know, last week we mentioned that we would, you know, touch on it. So it's really not a whole lot to touch on now. It's still not official. She's not a member of the Supreme Court yet. Right, but there's just more steps involved, I guess, more politics involved. But there are some other things that we were talking about in relation to Ketanji Jackson and dealing with these politicians or these career politicians. Hey, speaking of career politicians, you know, just a quick note here in Illinois, you know, Bobby Rush he's done now. He's not. He's finally going to step down. Did you know that?
You mean he's still able to step? I'm sorry, man. I mean, that's a dude of my generation, man.
Wow.
Yeah, Bobby. Yeah. All right. Good.
Yeah,
you
can,
man.
Say
I'm
that.
Glad
you
he
can
is.
Say that.
Yeah, I'm glad he is. Is Dan Davis still around? Danny Davis?
Dang, you know, I'm not sure. I don't.
Yeah,
I haven't heard his name in a while.
Yeah. So yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad I am. I think his time has been well served, and you know he was able to rise above the attack on the Black Panther Party. He found a way to become a part of the system, you know, instead of being victimized by it. You know, so he just victimized everybody else who voted for him. I'm sorry, man. I guess I shouldn't talk about your boy like that. But Bobby Rush was a big disappointment to me, you know. And his whole career, as far as I'm concerned, has been a big disappointment.
Yeah.
You know, but, so, you know, thank you, Bobby Rush, for your service. And thank you for stepping down.
Right on. It doesn't get more... talking about your complete circles in that.
Yeah. 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 You know, and, but Chicago politics, right? I mean, you're still in the hub of it.
Illinois.
It's so, you know, conflicted anyway, so corrupted. So, you know, there's Sue in the chat room. What's up, Sue?
Hey, Sue. Buenas noches.
What's new with you?
Okay.
So what do we say about Ketanji Brown Jackson? That hasn't been said because we're kind of frozen right now in time, waiting to see how the politicians are going to play their game. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you. We're just waiting to see what's going to happen. So there is something that
she's got three Republican votes on her side, though.
So do you know how many? I think that it's going to happen anyway, but it's like they just have to string it all out, right? They just got to drag it out. What was that somebody said? If Republicans were still in office, she wouldn't even...
Lindsey Graham.
Had this chance.
Lindsey Graham. You know, what do you say after you say Lindsey Graham, right? Other than, oh, my God.
Smack your forehead.
I guess I'm just in that kind of mood, man. You know, Lindsey Graham, you know, being so Lindsey, if we get back to Senate and we're in charge of this body, if we were in charge, she would not have been before this committee, you know. So that's his attitude moving forward, and he's on this panel that's deadlocked, 11-11. Of course, that's all, you know, that's partisan lines. So from that, of course, excuse me, I'm sorry, my sinus is, you know, begging for release, so sometimes it's going to come out as a hack job. So, you know, the process you started to go to a simple majority vote is going to rear its head pretty soon. When we're in charge, we're going to talk about judges differently. You know, so he's setting it up for a filibuster, which is going to be a stall. But the point is, along the way, yeah, it may be stalling the way politicians do, but you can't get around the fact that Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and your boy from Utah, what's his name? Romney, Mitt Romney, you know, are on board and saying they're going to vote to them. So that makes it 53-47, you know. And all you need in that kind of vote is that kind of majority. But, of course, the backlash is they feel, the Republicans feel that the way that Kavanaugh and I can never remember the female anti-abortion person that also came along, Amy Coney Barrett, and even to some degree Neil Gorsuch. But I think Gorsuch disappointed Trump in that he wasn't as right-wing as Trump had hoped. He's kind of a moderate, which means, you know, you don't ever know which way Gorsuch is going to vote. But
he's not all in.
Yeah, he's not all in, you know. Yeah. And, of course, you know, then we go back to the thing with Merrick Garland, who, you know, who should have been but never got in. I love that train, you know. So this is the game. They go back and forth, and you know, hypocrisy always wins out. You know, they can be as much of hypocrites as they want to be. Whether it's Republicans or Democrats, it doesn't matter. But they trust that, you know, the voter memory will not supersede them being able to stay in office, which, unfortunately, you have cats like that dude out of West Virginia, you know, who otherwise wouldn't even be thought of. You know, he'd be a fart in the wind. But because, you know, he can posture himself, you know, as equal to Biden, you know, he gets all the attention he could have ever hoped to get, and not concerned about how stupid he looks to intelligent people, you know. But nobody's ever going to talk, and I can't even, I'm totally blocked on his name right now, but nobody will ever talk about, you know, how corrupt he's been and the money he's made off of the coal industry, you know, because Democrats don't ever, you know, when they go low, we go high. Well, that's just why you're going to be going out the door. You know, when the next election rolls around, you're going to hire yourself right out the door. But on the other side of all this, you know, guess who's showing up at the White House tomorrow? You know, Barack Obama. Yeah, what's up now? You know, yeah. So why is he showing up and what's going to go down there? So anyway, man, again, I cut you off, you know, I'll back off the gas a little bit.
Well, when it comes to politics, I had a feeling you were a little bit more knowledgeable in some of the sad stuff too. You know, like I said, you hit me too. Like you said, you know, that's being said, and it's like I can't believe they said that stuff. So yeah, that's
oh,
what's up.
Oh man, here. That was just one little bit. I mean, check out the dude from Missouri, Roy Blunt. You know. It will be a high point for Jackson to be confirmed, but I won't be supporting her. But I'll be supporting others in identifying the importance of this moment. Now, what kind of double talk bullshit is that?
I won't be supporting her, but I'll be supporting
Everybody who does, and I'll be recognizing the importance of the event. So then vote for her. Damn. But it's like, no, because then I would be able to stand by my contingency, you know. So, you know, let's throw Essex out the window and let's deal with, you know, employment. Crazy, yeah. But I guess people do that every day, right? Yeah, many times, you know, people sell their souls to keep their paycheck, right?
Yeah. Well, we talked about that with athletes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. Will, right on, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the latest with KBJ. I mean, like, you know, like
yeah.
I said, we're still waiting. We was hoping to kick it off like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the hope was, man. You know.
We'll see what's up with that. So, you know, speaking mm-hmm. of the Supreme Court, did you want to touch on anything with your boy and his wife? I know we've been talking a lot about Jada and Will. You know, what they say is a meme on social media. Everybody's talking about Jada and Will, but this is the couple we need to be talking about. Talking about
you mean,
Clarence
about,
Thomas.
You're talking about Uncle and Aunt Thomas?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go.
No. You know, it's kind of hard to start just as, you know, a little piece because that's a whole story. You know, I mean, and see, we'd have to first start, you know, with his being appointed. You know, that's where we would first have to start and whose place he took. See, this is what drives me crazy. You know, why do we play that game? Well, Thurgood Marshall is leaving, so we got to bring a black man in. You know, why is it prefaced that way, that he was, you know, targeted to take the place of Marshall? Why? Why does it come? What would happen if we had an all-female Supreme Court and five of them were women of color? You know, what is the fear America has about actually having a form of government that isn't driven by old white men? Yeah. Why is America so locked into that dysfunctional behavior that says we don't want to risk offending dad in this dysfunctional family of ours? So we'll talk behind his back, but we won't ever let him know how we really feel about it. So that's kind of like America is this great big dysfunctional family, you know, where mom and dad are white and the children are children of mixed breeds. You know, so we grow up in this dysfunctional thing, and anything that ain't white being a part of this dysfunctional family gets treated like the so-called black sheep, you know, which is the scapegoat, you know, which is the billy goat that's black that leads all the sheep to slaughter. So then Clarence Thomas, I mean, you're stepping into the shoes of Thurgood Marshall, dude. Do you know what that means to black people? Yeah, I guess. Don't get me started, man.
A lot of people don't know this anymore. You know, don't realize that, you know.
That's something
I don't think we recall the significance of Marshall.
Yeah.
And at the time, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, man. Keep right on rolling.
Just saying, I just think we forgot that. And that's why I kind of enjoy hearing you talk about that, so that's not forgotten. You know, there's only – and it's right there in front of our face, you know.
Right there in front of our faces, man, you know. But we're conditioned. See, black folks are playing the game, you know. And black folks know we're playing the game. And we know that they know. We see that they know we're playing the game. But we can't tell them that we're playing the game because they will hurt us. So we have to act like we don't know that they're playing the game. You know, and you mentioned functional schizophrenia. This is the best way for black folks or people of color now that it can be described. You know, we have to act like we don't see that we recognize they're playing the game, and we have to act accordingly. you know, so they won't punish us for us recognizing that we're playing it. So black folks will probably, because there's so many payoffs in American society, especially in the realm of entertainment, you know, we'll probably never be willing to sacrifice the privilege that is gained through our different forms of entertaining those who buy our tickets, you know, to watch us perform. We'll probably never be willing in mass to give up that that lifestyle of privilege. You know, we'll probably always find the loopholes of consciousness that will never hold us to any type of integrity when it comes to social upheaval. We'll rather just continue to react to policy rather than take it upon ourselves to feel like it's time that we start dictating policy. So we'll always be the substitute. You know, Thurgood Marshall Lee's, Clarence Thomas will come in, and the people don't get to say if we're okay with that based on what we know about the brother. So he gets to wear his white napkin on his head, you know, and even the issues that come up between him and his wife. And, oh, my God, man, you know, we'll probably need to talk about a show that will also highlight the fact that she was, in fact, totally cognizant of what went down January 6th last year, you know, and kind of snuck out the back door before the shit hit the fan.
Yeah,
you know,
she did. Yeah, she did.
You know, and there was a time when integrity ruled, you know, but it's like, you know, it's a compromise of ethics now because there's a recycling, you know, and that recycling of what democracy is really about and what it isn't really about is rearing its ugly head in such a way that people in power are becoming more and more embarrassed by it. See, I'm a black man. So what does that mean? It means that I have freedom of movement as long as where I'm planning to move is approved ahead of time. Yeah, I can go anywhere I want to go, but I better know where I'm going ahead of time. You know, I can say whatever I want to say, but I better be sure that I have the backing of those who matter before I say it. I can raise my fist all I want, but I better be careful that nobody is threatened by it. You know, this is, you know, so the issues of rights are still the debate on the floor of Congress. We talked about it, an example, you know, the anti-lynching law, the Emmett Till law, that now lynching is against federal law. It's taken 60 years. I'm just talking about since 55, you know, for this to become a law. And still there's Southern senators that argue, well, since it's, you know, a state law, why do we even need to be concerned about it? Yeah, it's like, how could you even vote against it? There goes my voice. Well, you can vote against it because you're still playing the racial aspect of American politics that has never, you know, rescinded itself. You know, we're talking about what the whole seed of government was formed by and the fact that the Supreme Court is really just a carryover from the parliament of the controlling faction at that time, Great Britain, and what it means as far as its translation in American society, where, you know, the rights of others was determined by the 6%, you know, the oligarchy of American politics that was controlled by filthy rich white men, you know, and their wives. And there was more than enough poor people to go around. And then there was more than enough three-fifths of a people to go around. But that 6% is what has, that 6% attitude is what has controlled the politics of American society to this day. And we still play the game of not seeing that we play the game. So Michelle Obama, lover, can say, when they go low, we go high. But that's what they count on. That's playing the game, you know. In the meantime, us lowly citizens who really think a vote matters have to vote like we don't see that we're playing the game. It's crazy game of politics, man. We depend on outlets like the Oscars. We depend on outlets like, wow, that's right, the championship game is tonight. You know, we depend on, you know.
Which one?
NCAA, the final two of the final four is tonight. You know, Kansas, go Kansas, against NC State. I mean, North Carolina, go North Carolina. You know, Kansas is because, you know, a dear friend who is a professor of law in Kansas, you know, I don't know if she's actually at the University of Kansas, but it doesn't matter. You know, can't go against her. But you know, you got Hubert Davis, you know, this black coach at UNC, man. You know, I can't go against him. So, you know, whoever wins, that's what I was pulling for. That's one of those situations that is very different than the Green Bay Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. You know?
Oh, man.
You know,
oh.
Yeah, I really do care about this one. Just the opposite of, I can't even begin to tell you who would I pull for between the Packers and the Cowboys because I hate them both equally. But I love the scenario of these two finally being in the final two. Make it. Yeah, perfect.
Man,
okay.
That's rough.
I'm true.
Everybody, you might find some enemies on that. They were like, oh.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Then I'll know who they are.
For those that don't know, Coach K coached his last game at Duke. And so,
what a joke.
He didn't make
it
to the finals.
To me, I'm sorry. Go ahead, man.
I was just saying he didn't make it to the finals, and he got real close.
Yeah, he made it to the final four, though.
Yeah.
But, you know, one day we're going to talk in depth about whether or not college athletes should be paid, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially when you look at, you know, look at things like the NBA and the NFL, you know, and the incredible amount of money that these contracts, you know, generate and the fan base. And they come from this new slave market. Oh, I'm sorry. They come from this new learning institution, you know. College, you know, and why is it that the best black athletes don't go to the, you know, historically black colleges? Well, you know, slave mentality, bruh. We still like to be the new slave is the one who gets paid the most. Boy, I need to shut up.
You just open up another box.
Another
box of discussion. You know, in so many different schools, you and I were talking, like, these schools that have these programs just to cycle kids 1 year of college to go pro, you know, not with any intention for education. So even talking about them getting paid or not, I mean, where is education come into play? You know, how does that work anymore? Does it even matter anymore? I mean,
does it even matter anymore? Right.
That's definitely a putting a quote to a Pandora's box, I guess we'll open up at another time. You know, going back to the HBCUs, historically black college and universities, looking at that. I would like to follow up and see what Deion's been up to and what impact has been going on with HBCU since some of the shake up and getting students to play at the schools. But again, you hope that education.
Well, with regards to him, it seems like his focus is on two things. It's missing toes, and what does his athletes think about the slap? So give
you
him
mentioned,
a moment, and then you'd be able to, you know, we'll have a better idea where he is.
I forgot he had some surgery done and stuff. You mentioned just a moment ago about how we use entertainment to escape. And then in these moments of – my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, for bringing the slap incident up again. But I'm just curious. So we use these moments to escape our issues and things like that and through entertainment. And then for these moments of awards and Oscars, we have a moment to see these people who provide us with this entertainment, who give us, who like our pushers, if you will, who give us the drug we need to escape from the stuff we have to deal with. And then there's this moment where, you know, this dude that you watch, your main pusher or whatever, slaps your other pusher, and it's like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, suddenly suddenly things just become weird, I guess. I mean, I'm not trying to analyze the situation, but just listening to you talk about how we use entertainment to escape, and then you have these moments where it's like, okay, well, what's real and what's entertainment, and understanding that there's a difference between the two, and there's so much more to unpack. There's so much more to unpack, but besides just somebody getting up and just slapping somebody else on stage. You know, I think that's why we keep talking about it, because I think it just keeps unraveling other things. We talked about shadow energy last week, which, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard any of those shows from last week, Mondays and Wednesday show last week, please check it out, because I know that we're going to jump more into shadow and shadow energy and dealing with that stuff again. So, but yeah, so many things that's unraveled. It's amazing. You know, it's tiring to hear it, but it's still amazing to listen to.
Yeah.
It is exhausting, but I find myself, you know, still wanting to see the train wreck, if you will, or whatever the phrase is. But some stuff is really easy to let go as well. And I hear you in the back of my head, don't take it seriously. Don't take it seriously.
Well, what you're taking serious is what is exhausting. You know, it's at some point, the hardest thing for us to do, and I don't want, you know, it's like we only got a couple minutes left. But at the same time, it's hard for me to make the comment without mentioning shadow. You know, we'll have to, you know, do something about giving more understanding and definition to shadow.
Yeah.
But when the shadow comes up from a what seems like a singular event, the reaction of that event is what invokes the shadow within us. And how do we talk about the thing that we've avoided talking about? And suddenly something happens that releases the feelings that we haven't ever articulated to anybody, you know, and because we haven't figured out how to. So one brother slapping another brother right in with a sister sandwiched between them, you know, while a black production for the first time ran the Oscars, and why two black females and a white female was a triad of hosts, you know, all of these things happening simultaneously while the audience cheered, you know, all these things happening at one moment, the comments can't help but to be the punch marks. It's like, you know, is it a jab? Is it a haymaker? You know, no matter whether, once I decide whose side I'm on, then, you know, the jabs are coming at me from those who aren't on my side. The haymakers are coming from those that I held in such high esteem. Where do I go? You know, what do I do? You got a brother and a sister whose marriage I always wondered about, but, you know, they got the right to do how they do it in a land of nods, you know, in this glass bubble they live in. Well, you know, I don't take anything that comes out of Hollywood serious, but behaviors I do. Well, how do I do that with myself? So, man, you can't help but to, well, in my opinion, you know, you can't help but to have, you know, these circumstances that rise up inside of you to cause such internal conflict, you know, that makes you almost want to make statements that sounds like, okay, I'm really done with this. But, you know, you're not. It's like, I know I'm not, you know, because this is the only chance we get to get an inside peek into what's really going on that helps us understand what we're really dealing with. You know, they suddenly have become the same kind of people we've lived with all of our lives. And the question is, why did I hold them in such high esteem? Well, you know, that's what entertainment is for. And that's why we love our sports, why we love our, you know, movies, why we love our comedians, not equally, you know, but for individual purposes, why we love what we love. So we don't have to demand it. We have these things going on in American society, but we're not going to deal with the themes if it's interfering with my game.
Mm.
I'll tune back in when the game is over. You know, there are people who they're tuned into something and I'm not. It's all they're totally absorbed into that. And if I'm tuned into what they're not, I'm totally absorbed into that. And the only time it's an issue is if we live under the same roof, then who's going to ignore who for the next few hours? And then how does that spill off in the conversation? But this is what we do as an American. We let our forms of entertainment interfere with our struggles with reality all the time. We're constantly retreating to entertainment. And we justify it by saying we deserve the opportunity to escape. You know, that's why we're still fighting for civil rights. That's why. So, well, that's why there's still an issue.
So
we're not going to make it.
So in the meanwhile, though, what would you, you know, should we just stay with those other things? Is it like we're too engaged? I mean, is it like we watch too much TV? You know, as a kid,
yeah.
You watch too much TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So is it something as simple? Because that's what I'm feeling here is something just as simple, or something just as simple as not watching so much TV, because there's so many choices of documentaries and movies and series and all these things you can do. So is it just that simple, just to, you know, go back to those basics, you know, reading, meditating, just kind of just turning it off, unjacking from the matrix, as you and I always like to say. It's still those simple moments, right? Is it that easy, though?
Well, see, you're asking two different questions now. It's that simple, but is it that easy? See, we have to understand, it is simple, but not easy. Why? It's a simple process, but it's dealing with complicated people. You know, we complicate the most simplest of things all the time in this country. So, yes, that's simple. Turn off your damn TV and start talking to one another. Pretend there's a great power outage. Oh, my God. Think of what reaction that just caused in the millions who are listening.
The millions. I think some of them just took a breath. Gasped.
Yeah, it's a power outage where there is no external threat. Like, it's not like it's freezing outside or your food's going to spoil. No, and now that it's like, no, just think of it as a emotional, mental, social power outage. And the only thing you have is those who are right in front of you. That's the only form of communication you have available to you. And there's no telling when the power is going to be restored. So you just have each other, you know. Oh, my God. Yep, no, there ain't no, you know, cowboy game. Nope, there ain't no Final Four. Nope, there ain't. You know, it's like, look what happened when COVID kicked into high gear and how people reacted to having to live with each other. We can't go all the way. Oh, my God, I'm going to kill you, you know. Or people couldn't go to their games. It's like, well, how can government do that? And it became a campaign, Trump against Biden. Look what he's doing to you. Well, Trump was the one who said, oh, hey, just swallow some bleach. You'll be fine and sit in the sun. You know? But he actually can get up there and cause people to go, yeah, off with his head. Because Biden said, put on your damn mask. What do you mean? How are you going to? We don't let you. You're not going to tell me what I'm going to do with myself. If I want to die, I have the right to die. Yeah, but what about the people you're taking with you? Well, that's, you know, fuck them. That's their problem. Yeah, all right, man. Yeah, you know, so all this is shadow, man. All of this is shadow. And maybe, you know, we'll talk about that one day to get help. It's a matter of the two wolves story that you tell at the beginning of every show. It's a matter of understanding Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, you know, and that's how we begin to understand and unravel the great puzzle of that part of me that, as much as I don't like it, I can only ignore it for so long before it embarrasses the hell out of me.
before you get up and slap somebody in front of millions of people, you know.
Hello.
Yeah.
In the one outlet, the one forum, the one platform that you have that only comes up once a year, you're going to pick that moment. Yeah, man, that's the shadow rearing its ugly head. You know, so what the hell has been going on with this brother? And then we take a look at that. We start looking a little deeper into his life, and we start seeing, and this man's been carrying around a lot of shit, but he hasn't been sharing it with anybody. Shadow keeps saying, you better tell somebody. Better quit playing this game. You better quit faking it. Oh, no, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Still here. You know? I'm still here.
Yeah. Okay. Talking all that positive thinking stuff. Okay, that's cool. As long as you're doing something with it. You know, talking that Scientology stuff. That's cool as long as you're doing something with it. But if your shadow was saying, man, all this is great on the periphery. It looks good to the people you're talking to. But you know, doggone well, you're really not okay with it. And all it takes is somebody to say, hey, can't wait to see you, G.I. Jane, too. Oh, man. Shadow all over the place. Hey, Chris, you know, what's up with him? He made a comment that wasn't even part of the program. You know, so, you know, what's going on, man?
Yeah, so, what's going on?
In the meantime, I'm looking at the TV right now, and they're showing dead people laying in the streets in Ukraine with their hands tied behind their back and blood just spilling all out in the street.
Man.
You know, that'll shut you up for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Okay, well, I'm sorry, man. We're going into overtime, man. You know, I thought the show would end early tonight.
Did you know?
Yeah. You wanna ask Adam if he's got a couple words to say just to give everybody a break from me anyway.
I know he's been talking on in the chat room. Yeah. Well,
I haven't
Adam's
even
been
looked at it.
Tonight.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, all Adam, right, for holding up the chat room again.
Yeah,
hey, Sue.
Absolutely.
And
wow.
Thank you again to all the other listeners that took the time to listen us to tonight's live show, as well as those that are listening to our recorded shows on your favorite listening platform. All right, so Wednesday again, Dad, 7 p.m., right?
Absolutely, man.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, where we provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experiences, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. I'm Will. That's Bill over there. As always, we hope that you all be safe, be blessed, and most importantly, be yourself, because everybody else is taken. All right,
Amen.
Dad. Everybody have a good night. Love you, Dad.
Love you back, Will.
Catch you Wednesday.
Amen.